RadioArchives.com presents The Man Behind Murder, An Adventure of the Black Bat by G. Wayman Jones, read by Milton Bagby. Out of the night comes a menacing winged figure, the Black Bat. Blind District Attorney Tony Quinn takes his battle for justice from the courtrooms to the streets, prowling the city skyline as the Black Bat. His prey, criminals who live beyond the reach of the law. Masked, cloaked like a gigantic bat, and able to see in pitch darkness, the Black Bat is assisted by hulking Butch O'Leary and former con man Silk Kirby, as well as the resourceful Carol Baldwin, the daughter of the lawman who donated his eyes so that Tony Quinn could resume his war against the underworld. A war to the death, fought with scientific skill and blazing 45 automatics. Operating outside the law, the Black Bat is relentlessly hounded by police captain McGrath, who suspects that the blind DA is really the human bat who breaks laws in order to uphold justice. And now, the Black Bat's thrilling adventure, The Man Behind Murder. Chapter 1. Murder Steps In. The door of Tony Quinn's office was barely wide enough to admit the sullen-faced woman who had just been announced. She wasn't so tall, but she was decidedly wide, despite the armor that so visibly constricted her beneath the outrageous clothing she wore. She had a lumpy, insipid-looking face. Her sleeveless dress revealed arms that were heavy with fat. "Mrs. Devine," Quinn's clerk announced, and grinned a trifle. Certainly this gross woman had been improperly named. As she eased herself into a chair, she was barely able to squeeze her girth between the arms. She had small, piggish eyes that were regarding Tony Quinn with a mixture of surprise and consternation.
"I'm looking for the special district attorney," she said. "Where is he? You ain't him. You're blind."
Tony Quinn smiled. "Yes, I am blind, Mrs. Devine. I am also the special district attorney. You wanted to see me?" She shrugged those ungainly shoulders.
"Well," she said, "I ain't ever heard of a DA who couldn't see, but I guess it's all right. I'll take a chance on you. I want my husband locked up."
"Ah," Quinn pursed his lips, "exactly what has he done?"
"It ain't what he's done half as much as what he ain't done, the tight-fisted little runt," the woman said surlily. "He won't give me enough money, and I want him pinched for non-support."
"Doesn't he give you any money at all?" Quinn asked, and Mrs. Devine would have been considerably stunned if she could have known that those blank staring eyes could see her and were sizing her up thoroughly.
"He gives me $40 a week," she said shortly. "It ain't enough, not for a man who has all the money he has. $40 don't hardly keep me in clothes."
"Or chocolate bars or sundaes," Quinn thought. "But Mrs. Devine," he said to her persuasively, "that much money each week should be sufficient, unless there are a large number of children."
"There's no kids," she snapped. "Maybe $40 is enough to scrape by on, but say, does Mr. Rockefeller give his wife only $40 a week? No, sir. He pays her according to how much he's got. Jerry ain't no millionaire, but he has plenty of money, and he's got to pay me more, or I want him thrown into a cell until he learns better."
"Let's get this straight, Mrs. Devine," Quinn said. "Do you live with your husband now?"
"I don't," she said indignantly. "I threw him out a month ago. We had a fight over money."
"And where does he work?" Quinn asked mildly as he repressed a grin.